two numbers have stuck with me from my time working in food service. Three, I remember learning, was the average number of people a customer would tell about a great first experience in a restaurant. The meal was perfect, exactly what they ordered, cooked exactly the way they wanted. The service was excellent, present precisely when they needed something and otherwise invisible. The music was at just the right level to drown out the conversations of the table next to them without obstructing their ability to talk to the people at their table. Everything was wonderful. Those customers are likely to tell three people about what a great time they had and encourage them to come and check out the new restaurant. If, on the other hand, a customer has a bad experience, not necessarily a terrible one, we don't need everything to go wrong, just a few things, that same customer is likely to tell eight people to stay away. So in food service at least, but I suspect also in the rest of the hospitality and retail industries, a bad first visit is measurably more harmful than a good first visit. It is incredibly difficult to change a bad first impression, in part because many of us are not inclined to give a business or a person another chance. We all know this. How many of us have heard you never get a second chance to make a first impression? How many of us have told someone else that? Maybe a friend or a child right before an interview or a first day of school, first day of work, or maybe a first date. How many of us have, though, thought about what this really means? What this concern about first impressions, and specifically the fear of creating a bad first impression, really says about all of us? Because really, who are we afraid of being judged by if not each other? Just containing to this room, many of you here are well past the time of first impressions. Many of you have known each other for decades. I think a few of you have known each other for close to a century. But I ask everyone here, think back. Think about the first time you walked in these doors. I won't ask you to raise your hands. You don't have to admit it, but who was nervous? I will admit I was. The first time I was in this room was literally during a job interview that lasted nearly all day, but I was nervous the second time I came in when I got to meet most of you for the first time. All of us, I include myself, are very quick to judge. And very, very nearly all of us, and I still include myself, are quicker to judge negatively than positively. We are more likely to remember something bad, an insult, or even just a mistake, than we are something good, an act of grace or kindness. And then after we make these quick judgments, we stick with them until a vast accumulation of new evidence finally persuades us to change our minds, or we just decide to ignore all of that new evidence and declare that people never change. Our gospel text faces this same issue. We began, he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. Jesus has come back home, back to Nazareth. He begins to teach in the synagogue, and at first it seems to be going well. They are amazed at the wisdom and the deeds of power, but then they recognize him. They ask, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here among us? They could not change their perception of Jesus. Their first impression had been set. He was the carpenter, the son of Mary. And this new wisdom, the healings, everything he did could do nothing to change that. The people present, they did not need to listen to him. They did not need to watch. They knew who he was, the carpenter, the son of Mary. In response, Jesus says one of the few things that all four Gospels repeat. Frequently, Matthew, Mark, and Luke will share something. John is then over here doing his own thing. But this is repeated in all four Gospels. Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown. Jesus knows how hard it is to change a first impression. And yes, Jesus also says a great many things about being less judgmental, being more empathetic to those around you. Jesus models this, giving people deeper looks and giving time to the people who would be overlooked by society. And I am sure that most of you have heard many, many sermons on those texts before. But our text today does something different. Mark and the lectionary pair these two stories together. Jesus in his hometown, and then Jesus sending the 12 disciples, and I think we should look at them together. We get to see then Jesus responding not just to other people being judged, but to Jesus himself being judged. Jesus tells the disciples, "If any place will not welcome you and they will refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." Jesus tells the disciples when they fail that first impression test, when people decide not to hear them, that they need to shake the dust off their feet and keep moving. Jesus literally tells the disciples to shake it off. Do not dwell on their judgment. Do not dwell on their failure to listen, on their failure to see the value in you. Shake it off. Keep moving. Keep teaching. Keep healing. When you're doing what is right and are being judged unfairly, when you are practicing God's welcome, when you are genuinely proclaiming the gospel, do not waste your time or your energy on the people who refuse to listen. Reach those you can reach. Do what you can do. Help those you can help and keep moving. We have all been hurt by unfair judgment from others. The disciples were hurt by the unfair judgment of others and the rejection they faced. I think even Jesus was hurt by his rejection in Nazareth. When we feel this way, Jesus tells us very simply, shake it off. Amen.